Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're joined on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline by someone that knows a lot about baseball, a lot about the minor leagues, and a lot about that Brewers farm system. As this is an interesting time for Brewers fans because the Major League team performing all right, but still a lot of guys that are in the pipeline, so to speak, to come up in the near future. From MLBPipeline.com, Jim Callis joins us. Jim, always a pleasure. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
Hey, Jim.
Yeah, glad to talk to you guys.
Hey, Jim, before we get into this, you know, Corey Ray is supposed to be maybe the center fielder of the future or, you know, at least part of the outfield equation. You know, Keon Broxton's kind of there right now, but Corey Ray's, have you been following him at all? He's a first-round pick last year, but he's been struggling since he joined the Brewer organization.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't worry about that because, one, I don't think it's much of a sample size. I mean, he's only played 20 games this year, and I'm going to sound like I'm making excuses for Corey, but there's a couple of mitigating factors. One, he tore his meniscus in instructional league, so he had an abbreviated spring training. I don't think he's as prepared to enter the season as other guys were. I mean, he wasn't ready on opening day. So that's one. And two, I want to say that Corey started his career higher than any other draftee. They sent him straight to high class A, which you don't often see even with the advanced college player like Corey, and he's back in high class A this year. I would just cut him a little slack. And yes, is he off to a slow start and he's striking out? He is. But I tend not to even, for anybody, good or bad, get too overheated about stats in the first month of the season. Kind of about mid-season, you know, is when I start to take stock of, boy, this guy's having a rough year. Boy, this guy's having a great year. Because they just haven't been enough games played yet. You know, kind of like the same thing in the big leagues. I mean, there's some, you know, Ryan Zimmerman's going to, you know, win it leading the majors in all three Triple Crown categories right now. I don't feel like that's really Ryan Zimmerman, you know, what we're going to see from the end of the season. So, I mean, mildly concerned. You wish he wasn't striking out as much, yes. But it also could be, I mean, Corey's a very driven guy. It wouldn't surprise me at all if he's, you know, basically trying to do too much and make up for lost time.
Talking with Jim Callis, MLBPipeline.com, MLB.com. The question in the minor leaguer that I think we're talking about the most would be Lewis Brinson, who's number one in the prospect watch at MLBPipeline.com. And you have Ryan Braun, who's probably going to go on the DL. You have a lot of questions about when do you bring up Brinson, service clock, all of that withstanding. If Brinson were to come up within the next month or so, do you think he would have an impact right away at the major league level? Is he that ready right now? Is he that good?
Yeah, I mean, he's really good. He's one of my favorite prospects. He has about, you know, he might have, you know, you could argue, maybe the best power-speed combination of anybody in the minors, and not just the Brewer system. I mean, anywhere. He is going to strike out. He's always struck out some. I mean, he's putting up nice numbers at Colorado Springs, which is a great place to hit. I would anticipate he'd come up. I wouldn't anticipate he'd hit for high average. You'd see some strikeouts. But I think that power, you see him flash that power, and you could see him make an impact on the bases. And, you know, I mean, like anybody, I mean, I think there's some on-the-job, you know, learning, you know, when you get promoted to the big leagues. So, I mean, do I think he'd duplicate what he's doing in Colorado Springs? No, because that's a great place to hit, and you're making the jump from AAA. But I do think he could handle playing on a regular basis in the big leagues. And at some point, even if he's going to struggle, you want to give him that opportunity to get him ready for when the Brewers are going to be good in a couple of years. Now, all that said, with a non-contending team, I feel like I say this every time I'm on your show, I sound like a broken record. It just stinks. But the reality of it is, it probably does not make sense for them to call up Lewis Brinson before they would delay his eligibility for Super 2 arbitration. Now, you could call him up to replace Braun and send him back down when Braun's healthy again, although you run the risk that if Brinson, you know, gets off to a really hot start, it's hard to send him down if he's producing in the big leagues. But, you know, I think we'll see him at some point this year. My guess would be more closer to the All-Star break than as an early season injury replacement.
Okay, yeah, it's a shame that teams, and the Cubs were in this boat a couple of years ago, or I think it was last year, where, and then they get accused of not trying to win by agents. But, I mean, it's just, It's just weird how that works, where you can't bring up a guy. Would you love to bring up the guy, but you know that service time you got. That's the judgment you got to use.
Yeah, you do, and then, you know, and I will say, you know, there are rules that benefit players, and the players take advantage of them, and the unions take advantage of them, and there are rules that benefit the teams, and the teams in Major League Baseball take advantage of them, and you know, you'll see the union complain about this stuff at times, and you know what? You know, the union negotiated this collective bargaining agreement, and it is what it is. I mean, if you're contending, then I think you got to be smart about it and throw this stuff out the window and, you know, bring your best players. I mean, you remember when the Giants in 2010 got very cute with Buster Posey, who had been up as a September call-up the year before, and they basically waited as long as they could to call him up to delay his Super 2 eligibility, and they barely made the playoffs. I think they made the playoffs by one game and wound up winning the World Series. You know, and that was a case where they almost got too cute. But if you're a rebuilding team like the Brewers and like the Cubs were, I just think you have to look at that stuff because, I mean, it makes too much sense. I mean, you know, whether you're a big market team or a small market team, you're going to have a budget, and that Super 2 designation could be the difference. You know, with a guy, you know, maybe, you know, $4 or $5 million in salary that you could then spend on somebody else theoretically. So it is unfortunate. I don't like it either. I think it's tough if you're a fan when you see a guy and you want him to get called up and he looks like he's ready and doesn't get called up. But it's just the reality of it. And I don't know what the solution is, you know, unless you did away with the Super 2, which I don't think is going to happen. I mean, the free agency stuff, you can kind of get around that by keeping a guy in the minors for 2 weeks, which is what the Cubs did with Chris Bryant. But the Super 2 stuff, if you're taking that into account, I mean, you kind of need to keep the guy down for 2.5 months or so.
Jim Callis with MLBPipeline.com on Twitter. Jim Callis, MLB. How good is the Dodgers farm system? Because if Ryan Braun gets dealt, it looks like it would be the Dodgers. It seems that's the only match that can happen at this point. There could be a surprise, but there's a lot of Dodgers Brewers rumors. Is there anybody that the Brewers would like out of that? Is this a good farm system to be trading one of your all-time best players to?
It is. It's a very good farm system. I mean, you're not, and I don't think they would have anyway. You're not going to get a guy like Cody Bellinger, you know, who's already up in the big leagues and hitting. But I mean, they got it one of the deeper systems around. I mean, if you want pitching, you have guys like Walker Buehler, Yadier Alvarez, Mitchell White are all real interesting guys. You know, Brock Stewart is too, who was up last year a little bit but was hurt. And then they've got some really interesting young hitters, you know, even if you don't put Bellinger in the mix. You know, Alex Verdugo, Willie Calhoun, a couple Cubans, Yusniel Diaz, Omar Estevez. They got a real athletic catch out of last year's draft in Will Smith. And why not bring back Wisconsin native Gavin Lux, last year's first-round pick?
You
could go for him. So I think you could – you could come up with any number of combinations, and you wouldn't have to ask for Cody Bellinger, too. I think you could put together an interesting trade with the Dodgers.
This upcoming draft with the amateur draft, I always hold my breath when the Brewers pick with the first pick, and we talked a little about Corey Ray, but and we'll get to this draft here in a second. But Victor Roach, the Brewers traded him last week. He was a first-round pick in 2012. How come Victor never made it?
You know, I just think there was too much swing and miss. I mean, Victor got drafted for his power, and he had a pretty good track record of performing in college in a mid-major conference. And, you know, I do think probably the two hardest things to do in scouting, even when you see these guys playing college and playing the Cape Cod League or Team USA with Wood Bats or whatever, I think the two hardest things to do when you're scouting players at any level is with hitters, is projecting the bat. I mean, you can see the other tools. You know, but you just don't know. I mean, there are guys who will hit, you know, every level up through double A and then hit the wall in triple A, and they can't solve triple A pitching. I think that's one. And then two is I just think it's impossible to predict whether a pitcher is going to stay healthy. I mean, I've seen guys who everybody thinks have perfect mechanics and no effort in their delivery, and they break down. And then I've seen guys who have terrible deliveries. And, you know, just for example, I remember watching Max Scherzer in the Arizona Fall League after he signed. And Max Scherzer had the most violent head whack I think I've ever seen in delivery. Like, where, I mean, it literally looked like his head was banging off his shoulder every time he threw because he was throwing with so much effort. And, I mean, every scout I talked to said the same thing. Great arm, got to make him a reliever, get him to the big leagues right away because he's going to blow out in 3 years. And I don't think Max Scherzer's ever had an arm injury. Mm-hmm. So you just don't know. And so anyway, getting back to Victor, you know, the power, I mean, the raw power you could still see, and you can still see it now, but he just could never hit consistently enough. And that's I guess a simple reason.
Boy, if the Brewers could just hit on some of these guys, you know, like Taylor Youngman, he's 6'6", he's got all the tools, and there he is down in the minor league system.
Yeah, you know, well, I'll tell you another thing that's difficult with pitchers, too. And I will admit, I like Taylor Youngman. I thought he was a good pick where they got him. I thought he was going to get to the big leagues pretty quick. But one of the tricky things with amateur pitchers going to pro ball is when you're an amateur, when you're in high school, you know, unless your coach is just abusing you, you're generally pitching, you know, at least if I'm a pro team, I'm hoping you're pitching once a week for, you know, a couple months, you know, two and a half months. And if I'm in college, you're pitching once a week for 4 months. When you get into pro ball, you're pitching every fifth day for 5 or 6 months. And sometimes guys' stuff, like you see it with any number of guys, their stuff just doesn't hold up as well. And I think that's what happened to Youngman. I you know, this was a guy with low 90s at Texas, very consistent, very durable. You know, he didn't have – I don't think he ever had a plus secondary pitch. I mean, it was more like he threw his secondary pitches for strikes and he'd overpower you with them. And then when he got the pro ball, I think pitching every fifth day, it was more of an average fastball, so you just kind of had – this guy who had average stuff across the board at best, and, you know, that doesn't really play. So it's again, I don't want to sound like I'm making excuses, but it's tough. And with that, you just really don't know what's going to happen with a guy's stuff every fifth day until you see it happen. And that kind of thing's, you know, that it's not just the Brewers. I mean, I'd say if you look at your average first round of a major league draft, if there's 30 picks, you'll probably have 10 pretty good players. I'm not saying superstars, but like 10 guys who wind up being everyday players or big league starters in a rotation. You'll have another 10 guys who get a cup of coffee, and you'll have 10 guys who won't ever make it at all. It is so much more difficult than the NFL or NBA draft, and you have a bunch of failures in those too, because you're taking guys who aren't going to be stepping in. You're taking guys that you're hoping are going to be ready to step in, you know, 2, 3, 4 years down the line, and you have to project what they're going to be when they're ready.
Jim Callis, MLBPipeline.com. That's one of the reasons, I mean, the Cubs were able to do what they did is because they had some higher draft picks able to hit on some of those guys. Brewers have 9 this summer. You've got an article. We've shared it on our Facebook and Twitter pages. Already, Jim, doing mock drafts. What can we expect to find for the Brewers around that 9 spot?
Well, I mean, the things I'm hearing the most are high school players. And that's not a bad thing in this draft because there aren't a whole lot of attractive college options. But I've heard – the main things I've heard are high school. There's some really athletic outfielders, a kid named Austin Beck from North Carolina who missed a showcase circuit last year recovering from knee injury but has, you know, plus tools. You know, you worry about the bat on all these guys, and you haven't ever seen him hit with wood bats. But, I mean, he's got raw power and speed and arm strength, and it's a pretty exciting package. And Jordan Adell is another outfielder. He's from Kentucky. Beck's from North Carolina. Adell might have the best all-around tools among the high school players in this draft, although there are questions about his bat, too. And so I know I'm scaring you here. We're talking about guys with maybe questionable bats because you just never – but they've also been attached to a couple high school lefties. D.L. Hall from Georgia gets some Scott Kazmir comparisons. Trevor Rogers from New Mexico. And, you know, who knows? If the right, you know, it's not a deep year for college hitters or pitchers, but if the right one gets to them at 9, they'd be in the mix for that. But right now, and obviously with the caveat, we're 4 weeks away, my projection was Austin Beck at this point. And, you know, Austin Beck's intriguing a lot of teams. I mean, there's talk he could go as high as number 4 to the Rays, too. He's kind of the... I wouldn't call him an enigma, more the mystery man, just because he was hurt last year, so you didn't get to see him with wood bats on the showcase circuit. So you have a little less, actually a lot less history of him with wood bats against top competition.
We'll reach out closer to draft time, Jim. The article at our Facebook page, facebook.com/1057FM. The Fan, always appreciate it, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, good talking to you guys. Take care.
Jim Callis joining us from MLBPipeline.com on Twitter. Jim Callis, MLB. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. When you're ready to get into or back into the housing market, look no further than Great Midwest Bank. Visit greatmidwestbank.com. Take the next step towards your new home.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.